We pray that everything that's done here today will bring God honor and glory. It's amazing how me and my son Jackson was talking. Things are different now. Songs that we've always sung seem different now. Messages that God has placed on my heart down through the years, they seem different to me now. I was thinking on just some of the messages that I've preached since all this has went on. Last Sunday on the peace of God, and then Wednesday night on our thinking and our minds. Messages that maybe I hadn't preached exactly the way I did then, but it's different now. I was even thinking about the scripture that I need to preach this morning that the Lord had laid on my heart about prayer and how different it is now when I'm studying and I'm looking back through a message that maybe I preached a year ago or 2 years ago that now it has a total different meaning to me personally. And I pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, if you want to open your Bibles there, if you're watching at home, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. When I read these verses, if you attend Pleasant Hill, you're going to say, oh yeah, I remember when Pastor preached on that message. But I believe today it's going to have a total different meaning for you as it did for me. As I was studying these same scriptures fresh, just like I'd never preached them before. And the Lord dealt with me about this thought. Pray this every day. Pray this every day. In Ephesians chapter number 3, beginning in verse 14. Apostle Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want to preach on this thought. The prayer that we should pray every day. We shouldn't miss a day after this. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for the precious Word of God that can speak to our hearts. I pray, God, that your Spirit would be felt, Lord, even through these videos. God, your Holy Spirit would move into the homes and the hearts of people that is listening this morning, even those that will listen later. And God, would you do a work in our hearts? We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The prayer that we should pray every day. He starts out in verse number 14, for this cause. What cause is Paul talking about? You've got to study the chapters before this to realize what's going on in this text. Apostle Paul knows that there was a time that we was dead in our trespasses and sins. Chapter 2, verse 1. He said, in time past, we walked according to the world. And he said, we walked according to the spirit of disobedience. In time past, we talked from the lust of our flesh. But God, who was rich in mercy, he loved us. And when we was dead in our sins, he brought us together by Christ. He says, by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Remember, in the past we had no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, who was at one time far away or made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, Paul says that we would have boldness and confidence, and that we would have faith. Paul said, don't faint. Faint not. He says not to be weak, not to be weary, and not to fail. At tribulations he was going through, the pressures, afflictions, and trouble, he was saying that whatever I go through, it's worth it one day when we get to the other side. It's hard when we face things in this life. Let's all be reminded where Christ has brought us from and where we are today. And let's be reminded how good God is in our lives. With all of this in mind, we who used to be and we who are now new in Christ, there's things in our life that we face that sometimes are so hard. They're so difficult. But when we go through these hard things, we can realize that God's grace is sufficient for all. I'm so thankful that when we begin to study this prayer, we realize it's an everyday prayer. It's a prayer that we should be praying constantly, no matter what. It's a prayer that we should be praying for our families. We should be praying this prayer for our friends. We should be praying this prayer for our church family and for our extended church family. I realized that as I'm studying this passage of Scripture in Ephesians 3. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause I bow my knees. This prayer that Paul was praying, it said that it drove him to his knees. I read in 2 Chronicles 6:13, where when Solomon prayed, it said that he kneeled down and he spread his hands towards heaven and he prayed to God. I read in Daniel chapter number 6, verse number 10, that Daniel kneeled down 3 times a day and he prayed and he gave God glory for everything that's going on in his life. We read in Luke 22:41 where it says that Jesus kneeled down and prayed. Acts 7, Stephen kneeled to pray. Acts 9, Peter kneeled to pray. And let it be a reminder to us of how important it is that when we pray, we kneel before our Savior. Amen. We realize that it's not so many times the position, but we realize it's the condition of our heart when we pray. But have you ever noticed that when someone is really struggling, when someone is really concerned, when someone in life is really going through something that's really serious, have you ever noticed it'll always drive us to our knees to pray? That should be a reminder to us of how important this prayer is that Paul was praying. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. A prayer. A prayer. And who's this prayer to? This prayer to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God who can listen. The God who knows. The God who has ears and eyes and hands and feet. The God that we can call on and we can have confidence this morning that He hears His children when we call on His name. Not as those that was jumping on the altar and cutting themselves and calling out to an unknown God and calling out to the things of the world. And I'm so thankful today that we have a Father, that we have Jesus Christ, that we can call to them and we know that God hears and answers our prayers. And He says this prayer to the Father is for the whole family. The whole family. And I'm so glad today that we are part of the whole family of Christ if you know Christ is your Savior and Lord. But what is this prayer that is so important that's caused Paul to fall on his knees and to pray? I believe that you and I need to realize that this is a prayer that we need to pray every day. Not just every now and then, but it should be a prayer. There's some request here that you and I should pray. I need you to pray for me, and I need to pray for you. And we need to pray for our church family. We need to pray for our extended church family. We need to pray for those who are listening today that God would bless them and help them with these things that Paul was praying about. These things. This prayer request. The first request that I see is in verse number 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That that He would grant you. That means that He would give to you, that God would bring it forth, that He would deliver up, that we would be strengthened with might in the inner man. There's a lot of people right now upset because they can't go to the gym. There's a lot of people who's upset because they can't get in those crowds and make the outward man stronger. But what Paul is praying is that not the outward man would be stronger, but that the inward man would be stronger. And that's what we need in the days that we're in today, is that the inward man would be strong. That spiritual man on the inside would be made stronger through the Spirit of God. The Bible teaches us, though the outward man perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And that's what we need in these times, is that inward man to be renewed. That every day that we would receive that strength from the Lord that only He can give, that we would be able to walk, not in our strength, but in the strength of the Lord, that we would be able to keep our minds where they need to be. And it's not going to happen within ourselves without the strength of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to be able to make it in some of these days that lies ahead of us. We need the strength of the Lord in the inner man, the inside man, to be strong. To be strong, enduring, and that word means to resist. The deepest part of our being to be strong, our soul, our hearts, our spirits. Why do you and I need it? Why do we need this inward strength? So that we can overcome the temptations and the troubles and the trials that lies ahead of us. Why do we need this inward strength? Because of disease, because of death, because of disaster. We're going to need this inward strength, church. We're going to have it. And that's why it's so important that as Paul is writing, for this cause, he said, I bow on my knees. I fall down before the Father. He said, I fall down and I pray that God would give you, that He would grant you, that you would receive that inward strength on the inward man. It can only come through the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us. The source of our strength, the riches of His glory, and abundance of God's goodness in our lives. You see, the Holy Spirit dwells in the life of us as believers. So how do you know that? Romans 8, 9. It says the Spirit of God dwells in you. 1 John 4:13 tells us the same thing. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, dwells in the life of a believer. And He is the source of that strength. And He's the only one that can give it. No one else can but Him. As I'm thinking on this prayer request, the source of our strength. Is there anyone, I wrote this down last night as I was studying. Is there someone right now that you know and I know that needs this strength? They need this inward strength. I had a close friend of mine, I'm not going to say his name, but I had a close friend of mine stop by my house just this week, and he was so discouraged. So discouraged. He said, everywhere that I go and everything that I hear, all I am hearing is bad news. And he said, I'm going to be honest with you, Pastor. He said, it's beginning to work on me. He said, I ride to work, and the people that I work with, all they listen to is talk radio. He said, I have to listen to it for 2 hours to work, and then I have to listen to it for 2 hours back home. And he said, it's wearing me down. That's why we need to pray. Lord, give us that inward strength, that inward fire, that inward strength that only comes through the Holy Spirit of God, that we're going to be able to keep on keeping on in these crazy days that we're living in. We've got to pray for each other for that strength that only comes through God. We can't work it up within ourselves. It only comes from the Holy Spirit that lives in us. If you know someone right now that needs that strength, you need to pray for them today. I would ask you to pray for me that I could continue to be what God wants me to be. I'm telling you, man, it's different coming over here and preaching to a camera and coming over here and preaching to an empty church. It breaks my heart. And we come over here and we're trying our best to continue doing what God's laid on our hearts to do. But we need to pray for one another that inward man would be strong. You know someone in that condition right now. You need to pray for them. Not just in in the next few minutes after this message is over, and oh yeah, I prayed for my friend, or I've prayed for my wife, or I've prayed for my children because, you know, they're dealing with different things. And isn't it amazing that people was dealing with all kinds of things, but now all of this is piled on top of it. It's almost like some people are dealing with sorrow upon sorrow, and now there's more sorrow that's being heaped on people's lives. How important is it that we pray that the Holy Spirit would give that inward strength? Pray for them, not just today, but tomorrow. And then when you wake up the next day, pray for them again. And then the next day, pray for them again. And then the next day, pray again. Don't stop. We must continue to pray one for another. It's an everyday prayer. We need to pray every day for one another. The second request that the Lord showed me in the Scriptures is this. Verse number 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. In verse 17, he says that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith. As I know this and I'm studying this, I realize that when you and I get saved, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, some people call it when we become Christ followers, when we confess our sins to Him and we call on Christ to come into our lives and be our Savior. And Lord, I realize that we receive the Spirit of God. But what does this say? We need to pray that He would dwell in our hearts, that Christ would be at home there, that Christ would not only live in our lives, but He would guide our lives, that He would control our lives by faith. See, there's a lot of people that's saved and has the Spirit of God living in them, but they're not allowing God to guide their lives and control their lives. We're getting too messed up on everything else, and we need to pray for one another that God would give us strength through His Spirit, that we would follow Christ daily. That would be our number one priority in the days that we're living in. See, we get caught up in us. We get caught up in our life. We get caught up in our ways. We get caught up in worldliness. And what happens to us is we begin to cool off on the things of God. And the Bible calls that a lukewarm Christian. You begin to cool off a little bit. And see, what worries me more than anything right now in the day that we're living in is not that people's not sitting in the pews as much as that people who are not sitting in the pews are not living for the Lord right now. There's no doubt there's some that are praying and they're seeking God and you're spending time in the Word and you've gathered your family together right now to have church. But do you and I realize that there are others? They're not doing that. They're not doing that at all. They don't even pick up their Bible in these times. They're not even trying to grow spiritually right now. They're cooling off on the things of God. They're just getting caught up in the world and consumed by the world. And right now, it's kind of just out of their minds. They're just doing their own thing. How important is it that you and I pray for people right now? They will not become lukewarm on the things of God. I read in the Old Testament, it says that the fire of the Lord was to never go out. I read in 1 Thessalonians, it says, quench not the Spirit. That's teaching us, don't let this fire of God that's inside of you, don't let it come off. Don't let it flicker. Don't begin to hide that light that God's put inside of you. But right now is the time that fire needs to burn harder and brighter than it ever has before, church. Somebody's got to be able to see Jesus in somebody. Right now is that time. We need to pray that Christ would dwell, that Christ would be at home, that people would be on fire for the Lord. I want to give you an example of something that happened. As I was at a place this week, I want to share this with you. I'm not going to say where I was at because of the privacy of the situation. But I was at a place this week and I was sharing my testimony with a group of people. And as I was sharing my testimony, there was a gentleman that was there. His name don't matter. I shared my testimony, and he raised his hand afterwards, and he said, "I'm a Christian. I've asked Christ to be my Savior." He said, "But I'll be honest with you about something." He said, I'm not doing everything that I should be doing now." And he said, there's a time in my life that I was so serious about the things of God. He said, "But I'm not now. And why in the world did I get this glow?" As I was talking to this young man, he said, "I accepted Christ when I was 12 years old. And," he said, "I had such a burden for lost people." He said, "Preacher," he said, "I would get a globe. And," he said, "I would put it in my bed at night." And he said, I would hold that globe. And he said, "I would pray for souls of men and women and boys and girls all around the world who had never accepted Christ as Savior." And he said, "I would cry myself to sleep as I would hold that globe at night." And he said, "I would cry and I would pray and I would ask the Lord, 'Lord, help my light to shine. Help me to be the witness that I need to be. Help me to tell everybody that I come in contact with. Help me to tell them of the good news of Christ.'" And he said, "Preacher, I slept with that globe." He said, "That globe stayed in my room and stayed in my bed all the time." And he said, "It was amazing what God began to do in my life." And he said, "I would drive in my car," and he said, "I would stop at a red light, and I would look over to cars beside me." And he said, "If there was a woman sitting in that car," he said, "I'd begin to weep and I'd begin to cry because I didn't know whether that woman was saved or not." He said, "I'd see people walking down the streets," and he said, "I'd begin to weep and I'd begin to cry." And he said, "Because I want to talk to them about the Lord." And he said, "I'm not bragging." He said, "But as a young teenage boy," he said, "just one at a time on the streets in different places that I would go." He said, "Preacher," he said, I know for a fact I've got to lead over 200 souls to the Lord." He said, "But then some things happened." And I'm not going to get into what he told me that happened. He said, "But some things happened." And he said, "I got out of church." He said, "I got real discouraged." He said, "I walked away from the things of God." He said, "Now I'm where I'm at today. I don't know what state he's from. I don't know where he lived. But he moved here for now." He said, "Tonight I've rededicated my life and I want to ask the Lord to help me to be what I need to be." And I told him, I said, "I know what you need." He said, "What?" I said, "You need to go get you another globe. You need to go get you another globe and you need to put it in your bed and you need to start praying that God would give you that burden back for those souls of men and women and boys and girls." See, that's what Paul was praying. That's what drove him to his knees. He is on his knees and he is praying that God would give us strength and might by His Spirit in the inner man. But he's also praying that we would allow Christ to dwell in our hearts, to guide our lives, to control our lives, to lead us where we need to go. And there ain't no doubt in my mind there's somebody that's watching this right now. You know of somebody in your family or in your church or someone that at one time they was on fire for God. They was living for the Lord. They was doing what God wanted them to do. They was serious about the things of God. But something has happened and now they're not doing it anymore. And that person could even be you. That's why we need to pray this every day. We don't need to just pray this every now and then. It ought to drive us to our knees that if we know someone who is not doing what they used to do, who's not living the way they used to live, and I want to ask you this morning, has there ever been a time in your life spiritually that you was closer to the Lord than what you are now? And if there is a time, you need to fall on your knees right now and ask God to help you, that He would dwell in your hearts by faith. How important is this prayer? Fall on your knees and ask for that fresh fire to burn in your soul again. To rededicate to the Lord. You say, oh, if that young man was truly a Christian, he'd have never fell away like that. Well, you know, it's funny. That's what Paul's praying, that we should pray for one for another. It's funny that Paul's praying that prayer, ain't it? It is. He's saying that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You ought to be making a prayer list right now of people. I almost thought, how do we pray for the needs of just the people that's listening today? All I know is every single day we need to pray. We can't stop, church. We can't. We can't just, how do you just pray this one time and then go on? After I talked with that young man, it seems like that over and over and over and over again, the Lord has brought this young man back to my mind to pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray that he would allow the Holy Spirit to guide his life again. What a shame it would be for this young man to pour his heart out to me, to tell me the story of his life. And he told me a whole lot more than I would never share. Never would I share that with anyone. How important is it that I just pray for him? I'll just pray for him before I leave when I get in my car. Lord, help this young man. Just help him, Lord. And it ought to drive me to my knees to pray for this boy. Not just that day, but every day. As I'm studying this, I'm looking at these requests that Paul's making. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The third request is verses 18 through 20, is to know the love of Christ. I'm not going to be much longer, but listen, please. To know the love of Christ. He says, it passes knowledge. How in the world can we ever understand how much Christ really loves us? Now, there's some people preaching that Christ don't love you. But I'm telling you, I read in my Bible where it says, for God so loved the world. And I know that he loves me, and I know that he loves you, and I know that he loves us. I know that he loves sinners. That's why he came and sent his son, and he died on the cross, and he rose again the third day so that an old sinner like me and like you could bow on our knees and call on Christ to be our Savior and Lord. I'm glad that he loves us. We need to pray for one another that somewhere, somehow, people could grab a hold of the love of Christ in their lives. We have a man here in our church that ask his Sunday school class. He teaches a larger class here in our church. Sometimes there's 40, 50, 60 people in his class. And he told me, he said, I want you to write down what God thinks of you. And he said it shocked him that just about everyone in his class either put down that they was mad or disappointed. That's the way God felt of them. Wonder what would happen if we could pray one for another. We could experience the love of Christ in our lives. How much he truly loves us. He loves us so much that he wants to save us from our sin. He loves us so much he don't want us to stay the way that we used to be. He wants to change us and mold us and make us into the child of God that we need to be for his honor and for his glory. So much he loves us. And to be filled with all the fullness of God. You know what that phrase means? It's bigger than what I could even study. I can't even really comprehend what verses 18 through 20 are really saying. But it's saying that it would just be crammed inside of us. It would be just so much in us that it would begin to flow out of us. The love of God in our lives. It would be filled with the fullness of God. One writer said this, the richest measure of his divine presence in our lives. Wouldn't it be amazing if we begin to pray for one another? If we begin to pray for one another, that people would be so filled of God that everywhere that they went, that God just oozed out of them, that everywhere that they went, people could see Jesus in someone else. Wouldn't that be a blessing if we got on our knees and prayed, Lord, fill my children. Lord, fill my wife. Lord, fill the folks that we go to church with. God, do a work in people's hearts. Begin to call them by their name and ask God, God, fill them so much that everywhere that they go, people will be able to see Christ in their lives. What a difference it would make if we would pray that every day. Every day for our kids, for our families, for our church, for our extended church family. God, fill them. Just fill them with your love and your goodness. Fill with the fullness of God. Wow. What would happen to people if we begin to pray these prayers? That's what we need to pray one for another. That's what we should be praying one for another. Prayer request that drove him to his knees, that he would begin to pray that people would be strengthened on the inner man, that people would allow Christ to dwell in their hearts and they would follow his leadership through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit of God. When I began to study this, I was just going to stop reading, and the Lord reminded me to finish reading this chapter, and I want to finish reading it for you this morning. A lot of times we quote verse number 20 of Ephesians 3, and we quote it for a lot of different things, and I understand that. But you know, if we study this chapter in its context, then we have to realize that verse 20 is right in line with what he is praying for. And look what it says. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know what that's telling us? When we begin to pray, it just tears me up. When we begin to pray for people every day, that God would give them strength on the inner man, you know what that verse says? God says, I can do even more than that. I can give more strength than what you can even imagine that I can give. And when we begin to pray every day for people, that they would just follow the Lord and they would allow Christ not only to be in their lives, but to rule in their lives, to take 100% control of their lives. You know what he's saying? He said, when you pray that for someone, he said, I can even do more than that for them. It's amazing to me. When we begin to pray that people would understand the love of Christ, just how wide and how long and how high and how deep it is. He says, you know what I can do? I can do even more than that for them. Why in the world would we not pray this prayer every day for people? Why would we not? There ain't no doubt someone listening today needs strength. There ain't no doubt in my mind. There ain't no doubt someone listening today is growing cold on the things of God in your lukewarm. There ain't no doubt about it. And there ain't no doubt about it. There's someone sitting at home right now and you don't even feel like nobody loves you. There's no one loves me. Christ loves you. He loves you so much that he died for you on Calvary's cross. We're going to pray right here in just a minute that God would show you how much he loves you. Then this last verse, and I'll be finished. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know what the bottom line is? It's at the end of the day, when God gives you that strength that you need, you'll give him the glory for it. When you begin to walk the direction that God wants you to walk in, he'll get the glory from it. When we comprehend how much he really loves us, he'll get the glory from it. What else matters? Nothing. Nothing else matters. There's just a handful of us here today. And I'm going to ask them as I pray that they would pray. Because God knows who needs it today. And what we're going to pray is we're going to pray these three requests. That God would strengthen you. That God would dwell in your life and He would guide your life. That you'd get on fire for Him again. That you'd be able to comprehend the love of Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You for the Word of God that can speak to our hearts and change us. Lord, help us to do as Paul did. Help it to drive us to our knees, Father, that we can pray one for another. I pray today, Lord, for that one that's listening that needs strength. They're just tired. They're weary. Life is pressing on them. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that You'd give them strength. I pray for that child of God that's drifted away. They forgot about the globe. They forgot about the burden. They forgot about You directing their lives. And now things in life has happened. It's got them so distracted and so discouraged that they're turning their backs away from the things of God. They're turning their hearts away from the things of God. I pray today in the name of Jesus they'd turn their hearts back to You, God, and You'd rekindle that fire down deep in their soul. I pray for them today. I pray for those who feels like no one loves them. I pray, God, that they'd be able to comprehend Your love. That Your love would overwhelm them. That it would be so real in their lives that they can't even understand where it's even coming from. But God, Your love through the preached Word of God, through the Word of God, and through the prayers of Your people, Lord, it would settle down deep in their souls and they would realize, they would grab a hold. Lord, You'd fill them. You'd fill people with Your fullness. People would be able to see Christ in us. In Jesus' name we pray.